You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
I frequently get the same email or the same phone call, and it usually starts something like this. If you can save my marriage, you will be a miracle worker. And then they go on and they describe the situation that has lots of twists and turns and convolutions in it. And they're convinced that I can't save their marriage. And when I'm talking with them on the phone, I quickly respond and say, you're right, I can't save your marriage. When I do that by email, it's the same kind of thing. But I go on further. If we're having a phone conversation, I say, you know, you're right, I can't save your marriage. And they said, I knew it. You know, mine is impossible. And my response is this: no, it's not that about whether I can save your relationship or not. It's whether you can save your relationship or not. That's really the whole thing. This whole process is not about me saving somebody's relationship. It's about me offering some help for people who want to save their relationship. And that really is where we are. That the information I have for you applies to all situations. But the question is not whether I will save the relationship, but whether you will save your relationship. And that is a significant difference, because one of them is where you get to say, I'm the one moving forward with this. The other is where I get all of the glory for having saved your relationship. The fact is, I can't save your marriage. I've never saved a marriage in all of my career. I've not saved a marriage in any of my years as a therapist, as a relationship coach, or as an author. I have, however, helped thousands of people do just that. And my point here is that it's not me doing the work, it's you doing the work. I'm here to provide you with the guidance and the information that can do it. But this is about you stepping up and you deciding how you're going to follow that path. And for me, that's a huge piece. To be able to walk with you is my great pleasure. To be able to walk with you is a great honor as you go through that process. I've walked this road many, many times and watched many, many people restore their relationships. But I've been the one walking beside the person, when, and sometimes later on, the couple are the ones that have to save their relationship. It's not about somebody from the outside doing it. This is one of those things where it's about you doing it. Saving marriage is an incredibly important thing, and you're the one who's choosing to do that. And the reason I believe that saving a marriage is so important in this culture is because it's countercultural. You're doing something that so many people say, oh, what's the point? We live in a disposable world. You know, one of the things that drives me crazy is to watch a perfectly good building get torn down to be rebuilt in a slightly different form for some other slightly different company. And I watch all of this good stuff just get toasted. I also watch the same thing happen over and over again with perfectly good materials and devices and all these other things that quickly get junked because the next newest, shiniest thing comes out. We just live in that culture that says, oh, this is disposable. Well, in my mind, marriage is not disposable. I take very seriously the vows that people make at the beginning of their relationship. Those are the ones that we make. And remember, I always talk about the fact that this commitment that you make is about what you're going to do when you no longer feel the same way. And that really is the nature of a commitment and nature of those pledges, those promises you make, is that you promise to do something and continue to do it even when you no longer feel the way you did when you made that promise. Otherwise, all you're doing is saying, well, as long as we're happy together, we'll stick together. And yet, the wedding ceremony is all about the permanence of this, of turning away all the other people, of deciding to be on each other's sides in whatever day comes your way, good days, bad days, rich days, poor days, sick days, healthy days, all of those days. That's the commitment we're making. And that's why this is such a big deal, that we're talking about the life of a couple and the life of a family, and often in the lives of children. You see, in this disposable world, it's easy to say, oh, that can be replaced. And it can be replaced if it's a cell phone or a car or a house. But when we're talking about a relationship that affects many, many people, that where it really is a place where you've been brought together and you've brought your families together and you've created another family, it's not so easy to just pull it apart. And yet, that's exactly the attitude many people have. I've heard many people say, well, you know, if it's tough, it just isn't meant to be. And my response is, if it's tough, it just means that you stand up and you do the work. That is the nature of any struggle in life, is that we say, hey, I'm going to take that on and I'm going to push forward. And here you are doing just that. I've seen in my career the damage done by divorce. I've seen the children who are affected, and not just the young children. I've seen people who come to me at 20, 30, 35, 40 years old talking about how they're having a hard time moving forward with a relationship because they watched what happened with their parents' relationship, that it didn't last. And when I was doing premarital counseling, that was one of the big things I heard repeatedly is, you know, I've struggled with getting married because I saw what my parents did and I saw that it didn't work. And they act as if, and I think have taken on the belief in culture that it's not about what they do. It's just whether it happens or not. And I just don't believe that's the case. So I've watched the children be damaged. I've watched the finances of families completely devastated, first by trying to support two households, second by trying to divide it out, third by dealing with those assets that are in there and the arguments that come out of that and a lifetime of that and the retirement issues and all of those other pieces, then watch people just walk away devastated financially. I've also watched the health of the two people who are divorcing to be horribly impacted, both their physical health and their emotional, psychological health and their sense of well-being and even how they then move forward with other relationships. It's quite a blow when you've promised that you're going to be through this with somebody for the rest of their lives and then suddenly that's got to be pulled apart. There's a psychological wound that doesn't happen in any other relationship breakup that we have. You've pledged together in front of family, in front of friends, and if you believe this way, in front of God, that you're going to join together the rest of your life. And when you do that, a psychological bond happens or begins to happen. That's what I talk about, becoming a we. And whether you make it to that point or not, you've started that process and the bonding is there. And so the hurt that happens is incredibly intense for people. And a lot of people underestimate that. In fact, I believe that when people are contemplating divorce, they are in complete denial over the pain that's created by that. They're pretending as if it's not a big deal. And it is a big deal. So recognize that what you're doing is a big deal. It's a huge deal. I find myself standing in awe of my clients, the people who come to me, because they are doing the hard work. It's amazing to watch the people work day in and day out to build their plan and to execute their plan on how to create a new relationship, about how to change themselves, about how to change the connection that they've had all along. You see, I believe that we always have three options, and they are three options that fit in almost every situation. And you can choose any of the three options, but there are some side effects of choosing one of those three options. So what are those three options? Number one, you can stay and just stay the way things are. So basically stay and stay stuck. That's where you decide you're just going to suck it up and go on through the relationship and just kind of tag it along and drag it along and kind of get through life at the same place you are now. The second option is to just cut and run, to leave. And here's what happens for most people when they leave a marriage. They repeat the same mistake because they never fixed anything. They go and they create another relationship and they hit the same place. I've watched people who have repeatedly come to my office to say, hey, this relationship is different, only for me to watch it go the same way that the others have. This is particularly true with affairs. You know, I watch people come in and say, this is the real thing. I was wrong before. This is the real thing, and this is going to be different. And then they come a few years later and say, well, this one is different. This new person is different. It's not the way the old one was. I figured it out, and then I watch them 5 years later coming back going, well, this one is different. And what I realized was that all they were doing is leaving and repeating. They might have changed the person. They might have changed where in the relationship they jump back in, but they never fixed the problems, never fixed the mistakes, and so they were doomed to repeat them. So you can stay and stay stuck. You can leave, cut and run, and you're likely to repeat the same thing. Or number three is choose to transform, to stay in that current relationship and transform. That's when you stay and make it great. Now, there are certainly times in life when you just stay and push through. Sometimes we get in a job, and I had this conversation just the other day with someone who said, I don't understand why that person stays in the job. They're not happy with it. And I happen to know that that person stayed in the job because it kept food on the table and paid the mortgage and kept the kids going the way they needed to. That's why they stayed in that job. And sometimes that's an okay place to be. It at least gives you some stability. Now, I'm not talking about in marriage. I'm talking about some places in life. Sometimes it's okay to just leave. You know, I've had people who said, you know, this just isn't working for me, whether it's a job or a hobby or something else, and they just decide it's time to leave it. This is particularly true with things like hobbies. You know, you can just decide, you know what, biking's just not for me. I'm going to sell my bike and leave it alone. Biking is one of those that you can just hang up and walk away from. There are lots of hobbies like that, and you probably have had hobbies in your life that you finally went, you know, I'm just going to leave it. It just doesn't give me anything. And it's a perfectly okay response to those situations. But in a marriage, I believe that the first two options are dead ends. You can't stay and just suffer through. I don't think that the calling in life is just to manage to live through a relationship. I just don't think that's it. You'll notice that I didn't call my material How to Stop a Divorce, because stopping a divorce is stopping a legal process. But how to save a marriage, and not just save a marriage, but make it something you both would cherish. That's really the big deal here. So I don't think staying and sucking it up is the right choice, nor do I think leaving, just walking away, is the right choice either, mainly because I see the damage that comes from doing that. So I do believe that the third option of finding a way to transform that relationship into something that you both would treasure, that's the way you move through a marriage crisis. And you've signed up for that one way or the other, mentally, or you've grabbed my material, or you've joined a coaching program of mine. But somewhere along there, you've begun to move in that direction. You've begun to say, you know what? That's what I want to do. I want to save and transform my relationship. If you're looking for just a hint, a trick on how to save a relationship, you've probably already figured out you're not going to find it here. I get an email periodically where somebody says, you know, I'll do anything to save my marriage. Just give me a hint. In fact, I got one of those 2 days ago, and the person said they gave me their whole issues with their marriage, and they described all the problems, and they said, I'll do anything to save my marriage. Can you give me a hint on what to do? And I wrote back, I said, man, I can do way more than give you a hint. I can give you a whole system on how to do it, how to understand where things went wrong, how to understand where you need to get to, and how to do that. I can provide that for you. I sent that off, and I got a response back. Could you just give me a hint? No hint, no trick, no little technique is going to save a relationship. It takes a transformation, in my mind, to get to the place it needs to be. And guess what? That's what you're about. If you weren't about that, you wouldn't have made it to this far, even in this recording. And if you've listened to multiple of my recordings, my podcasts, and if you've read my material, you're still moving in that direction. That is amazing work. I believe that this work brings out really three virtues that I think are very important for us to learn and relearn in life. The virtues that I see are 1, courage, 2, commitment, and 3, concern. 1, courage. Courage is when you act in spite of the fears you have. A lot of times people believe that people do courageous action because they don't have fears. That is not the case. Everybody who makes a courageous action has to have fear. Otherwise, they're just taking an action. And so part of what you're doing here is saying, I step up. I have these fears. I have these concerns, but I'm going to keep pushing forward. I'm going to keep taking action. And that courage is what will keep you moving. It's amazing to me to watch the courage that people take on to move through the fears and the pains of this process and to keep their head in the game, to keep moving forward. The second virtue, commitment. When you're talking about a marriage that's in trouble, you're probably not getting all the warm fuzzies you want either. The difference between you and your spouse may be that you're willing to keep moving forward, and your spouse may not be quite so willing. That's about commitment, not about the fact that you're getting all this out of it and they're not. You're probably not getting what you want out of it either, but you have a commitment to something, and you're living within your commitment. And I believe that we all need something that's big enough that we say, I'm committed to working through this even when it's tough. That is impressive work to do. The third virtue I see is concern. Concern is empathy, of recognizing that this is for the kids and for the family and for your spouse and for you. It's concern because you recognize the damage that happens when things don't go well. Sometimes people come to me and they tell me about the spouse that just cannot see beyond where they are, and they're scared for that spouse. That's concern. Sometimes they tell me about the pain they can see their spouse in, and they're not sure what to do because they don't want to increase the pain. That's concern. Sometimes they recognize that their kids are going to suffer and they've got to find a way through this. That's concern. I talk and meet with some of the most empathetic and concerned people I would ever dream of meeting. It's kind of this perfect place where I meet people who are courageous, who are living in commitment, and who have concern for what happens. That's the virtues I see in this process, and they matter. In this world of disposable everything, those virtues matter. Don't let culture fool you. This is important work. You are doing incredibly important work. You're not going to get a lot of praise for it at this moment. You're not going to get a lot of joy out of it at this point, but you're doing incredible work. You may be getting pushback. You may be hearing voices from people. It may be friends. It may be relatives. It may be family members that are close to you. It may be professionals. It could be therapists telling you, it's time to back away from this. And you say, no, what? Why would I do that? I've made this commitment. I've got this courage. I've got this commitment. I've got this concern. I want to keep moving forward. And I want to tell you that that's not what culture tells you all the time. Now, the interesting thing is on the other side of it, once you've saved the relationship, a lot of people are willing to say, oh, I knew you could. I knew there was something more for the two of you, and they all join together. But right now, you may find that people are so caught up in this disposable world that they don't see how important it is what you're doing. You're doing important stuff. Remember that. Don't be fooled by culture. Stay clear on four things: your goals, your reason, your process, and your plan. Your goals. What do you want to accomplish here? And my hope for you is that your goal is to establish a relationship that is warm and loving for both of you, where you stand by each other's side through thick and thin, where you provide a nurturing environment for the rest of your family, and where you are in that commitment for the rest of your lives. That's what I hope. But find your goal. What is your goal in this process? The second are the reasons. Now, the goal is one thing, but the reasons you're doing this right now, maybe you have some kids at home. The reason you're doing it may be because you have that commitment that you have and you want to honor it. Those are the reasons. And goals are moving forward. Reasons are usually anchored in the past. And so you have both where you're moving towards and why you're moving towards them, from the past into the future. Then remember the process. And what I mean by remember the process is that you've got your eyes on the long term, but where you are right now. You can't say, I will save my marriage. You can say, I will do everything I can today to save my marriage. You can't say, we're going to have our 50th anniversary, but you can say, today I'm going to work to connect this way and to change myself this way and to create a new path this way. And when you do that, you create the possibilities down the road. You have control over the process in the moment. You don't have control of the ultimate goal. So don't get caught up in that ultimate goal, but the goals along the way of why you're doing this. And finally, have a plan. And that is so important. Have a plan. Don't be flying by the seat of your pants in this, because if you do, your emotions are going to pull you back. You need to have something there that allows your reason and your rationality to return, to move back into that courageous place where you keep moving forward. The best way of showing your courage is having that plan and following it every single day. Remember this, it matters. No matter what the culture tells you, no matter what you're hearing from your spouse right now, this work matters. You are finding the way through following those virtues of courage, commitment, and concern. And let me just tell you, I'm amazed by the people who do that, and I'm amazed by you. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.